This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life is full of stresses. It doesn't matter who you are or what you have, your life is probably stressful. For me, something that I found very stressful was when I got my puppy, and I was very lucky that I could lean on my mom and talk things out with her. From time to time, we need to unload the stress and get it out. Talk to someone who's completely unbiased about your life, someone who isn't going to judge you or take sides on anything. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Unload the stresses and get some unbiased feedback. You'd be pretty surprised at what you might gain from it. See if it's for you. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and 21 and over listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/holly. That's BetterHelp.com/holly. Hello and welcome back to 21 and over. Today I am so excited to have everyone back for episode 7, and today joining Tally and myself, our guest this week comes from Brooklyn, New York. Grace, also known as Art Baby Girl, is an artist and author. She works across multiple mediums, including illustration and murals. Her playful and self-reflective work has been featured at MoMA, Tate Modern, and in more than 50 galleries worldwide. But first, before we speak to Grace, as always, it's time for a check-in. Tally, welcome back.
Good to be back.
Now, how has your week been so far? What are the highs and lows of your week?
So I will start with the low, I think. That has just been feeling the pressure of having to do lots of things has really been on me this week. The pressure to see people, the pressure to always have a plan in place, feeling guilty of comparing myself, comparing what I'm doing with the likes of social media and everyone else, and thinking everyone's having a really great time. And therefore, you know, feeling like I have to put a plan, you know, every night having to put a plan. Actually, you know, in lockdown, I was doing absolutely nothing and feeling absolutely fine about it. So I don't know why suddenly I'm giving myself a hard time about it. But the highs of the week, obviously the football, I've got to add that one in. I think I've said that for the last 3 weeks now. And also, really getting into, obviously, the climbing walls are back open, and I think, you know, progressing with my rock climbing, that makes me sound really cool. And that's been good, seeing progress. So yeah. What about you, Hoz? What have your highs and lows of the week been?
Firstly, I'm impressed you're back rock climbing. Nicely
Thank
done.
You. You must come along.
One day. I would say the high point of my week was my twin was home for the weekend, and my older sister Meg was very busy with her friends, so she didn't have time to see us. And my younger sister, as you know, is in Australia. So it was nice just having quality time, myself and Jack. Whenever he's home, I have never eaten more in my life than whenever he's with me. We go out to restaurants, we snack on things, which is great. I'm not complaining.
It's nice to indulge sometimes.
Yeah, it was nice, but I'm still full. And then I would say the low part of my week is my mood hasn't kind of shifted upwards yet. I'm still very much in this dip, and I'm really annoyed that I'm still in the dip. You know, I tried adding different things to my routine. Well, sticking to a routine, but adding things like exercise in. And it's annoying that after such a fun weekend that I had, and I had such a great time and I was laughing and all that, and I get home and I'm kind of like just back into the slump, just kind of waiting for something to shift. So yeah, just sitting with those feelings.
God, I know. It's hard, but I think that the important thing is to remember that the less judgment around them, the better. And also the trying to find the acceptance that this is the space that you're currently in, and that's also okay. It might not be comfortable, but it will pass at some point.
That's very true. That is very true. It's comforting to hear someone else say that as well.
Well, I've been there, you know. I know it. I know it well.
Now, I'm so excited for today's guest, Grace. She's speaking to us all the way from Seattle in America. Hi, Grace. Welcome to 21 and Over. Grace, I am so excited to speak to you today. Thank you so much for joining myself and Tally. Now, the first thing I always like to start off with is a check-in, because as the last year has shown, it's so important to check in on ourselves, our friends, and our family. So how have you been, and how have you found the last year?
So I'm doing pretty great these days. I have essentially taken the last month off of work, which has improved my my mood, my mental health, like exponentially. I've been spending a lot of time in nature, which, you know, I've realized is like the thing that helps my mind calm down so much. So after, you know, of course, a very challenging year, I'm finally starting to feel a bit more like myself again.
That's so good. And is this spending time in nature something you've done before, or is it something that's quite new to you?
So, you know, here and there I would do it. I grew up definitely like taking a drive to like do a short hike or something, but you know, I've lived in New York for almost 10 years now. Of course, you know, we have parks, but it's just looking at a single tree is just very different than like camping in the redwood forest and just being surrounded by these like giant old trees. It's totally a different experience to like, you know, for there to be like more nature than people. I think that's what I'm realizing feels great and like helps me feel small in a good way, right? Like I'm not the center of the universe. So
what was it that made you, sort of encouraged you to take a month off work or take time off work? Like, what point had it got to that you felt you needed? Obviously, we've had a sort of tough year, but what was it that made you realize that you needed time?
Yeah, I think I have just put my career first for so many years. I've been working as a freelance artist for, you know, about 6 years now, which, you know, I love it. It's like so amazing to be able to express myself creatively for work, but it's really exhausting. And I'm not good at taking days off. So almost to like set up this trip, I like set myself up to really not be able to work. Like I left my markers at home, you know, we're living out of a car. So it's just, it's very limited to like what I can do. So I think I almost like needed to set up this structure to allow myself, you know, I needed like rules to actually let myself have free time to just like be a person and not be and not like be an artist, you know?
So when did you discover that art was a way of coping with your own mental health?
It's always something I've been drawn to. I think when I was younger, I struggled to very like explicitly talk about my emotions, right? Like I think I picked up when I was younger to just kind of like keep them hidden, right? Like emotions and expressing yourself is annoying, or you know, I think I kind of picked that message up, right? I wanted to be the like chill girl, the cool, calm person when like, you know, no one can be that way all the time. But I think art I figured out like art was a way where I felt comfortable expressing my like honest self through it, right? Because you can be more abstract with it and you can release so much of it like in the process of actually making it. I can express myself and then I don't have to do it directly confrontationally, like with a person, right? Like I can have this kind of like private experience where I'm expressing myself. And then of course, right, it exists out in the world and people look at it and, you know, we can talk about it, but I think it felt like a safe way to do that. But it took a long time for me to be aware, that that's what I was doing. Like, I think for many years, it just was this thing I did. It like just was this channel, right? Like I would almost like go into this daze and I wouldn't even realize like what I was creating or what I was doing. And then a few years ago when I like had this kind of major depressive episode and went back into therapy and stopped drinking, that's when I shifted and I was like, okay, I want to like specifically make art about what's going on. And my work became much more like obvious and purposeful in like in speaking about my mental health.
Mental health, yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda. Whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
And actually, if you look back at your art sort of from the last, over the last year, are you able to see changes during times that you perhaps were struggling versus, you know, when you were feeling more grounded or you know, more settled?
Definitely. I mean, there's layers to it, right? I think sometimes when I'm really struggling, like in those moments, I can't be creative. Like, you know, it would be wonderful if I could like easily channel that like pain into art. But usually it's like, I just want to numb out and watch. I want to watch a whole season of a TV show in a day, right? Like that's usually what happens. But I think it's like after that, when I can kind of come out of it and then I can look back and gain perspective and be like, oh, like this is kind of what was going on. And I try to be good about journaling a lot. I think that's something that helps me. Like, even if I don't feel up for like making a comic or an illustration, if I'm having like a rough week, usually by journaling or just kind of taking notes on how I'm feeling, I think that allows me to then come back when I like have, you know, when I have more energy, I can look back and again, like, right, reflect on what I'm dealing with. So I think that is that's honestly how it goes, right? Like I'm sure there's been moments when I've been in a dark spot and been able to like eloquently express it, but usually it's like, no, that's just not happening.
Is it scary sharing, you know, something that's so personal and can be sometimes quite painful? Is it scary sharing that with the world?
It's terrifying. I think, and again, I think for years I hid behind kind of like humor and sarcasm a lot more, right? Like I would make jokes about feeling bad because that felt safer to have that like that screen of humor between me and actually like admitting that I was having these complicated, messy feelings. But then, right, over these last 2 years, I've made a point to, of course, I still try to be funny sometimes, but I've made a point to also like be sincere and not laugh off every, you know, everything that's like scary or sad or overwhelming. And I think, it's like that balance of sincerity and humor is where I try to exist. But there's been the first few times I like shared art on Instagram that was just straight up vulnerable. I like my heart was racing and I was like ready to delete it immediately. But, you know, like, even though, of course, I think most of us have a complicated relationship with social media, like the way that people responded, I think, initially to those more vulnerable works of embracing that, like, really helped me feel safe to keep doing it. Cause you know, the worst fear is that it's just, you're going to get flooded with comments of like, ugh, gross. But at worst, no one does that, right? If people don't like it, you hope they'll just scroll past or unfollow or whatever. Mm. But you have to just do it through practice, right? So just the more I do it, the more, you know, you can remember all that like, it's not personal, even if someone doesn't like it, and that, you know, it's just a way to practice those things.
The more you post, perhaps the less fearful you are about receiving, you know, comments, whatever they may be. Do you find that when you're in a more vulnerable place mentally, that it's harder to post that on social media?
Yeah, I think I'm trying to just not, you know, when I'm feeling really insecure, I think it's best for me to just not be on my phone that much. That's, you know, because you get in those states of mind where just like scrolling through, you know, seeing other stuff, it just kind of like, it'll just get to me, right? Like I'll just be comparing myself, and I'll just, right, be in this like way more sensitive state of mind. So I'm trying to just like not do anything unless I'm already kind of feeling a bit more confident, or if my self-esteem is, you know, like if I have a good day, I think that's when it's easier to put myself out there that way.
Going back to what you said earlier about using humor to cope, that's definitely something I do, and I have sometimes quite a dark sense of humor, just because it's easier to make a joke about something than to actually talk about it. So what was it like when you realized you could put, I guess, that dark humor into art, and that way it becomes so much more understandable for people rather than just a bad joke?
Totally. No, I think it's really powerful. Like, I think, sure, there's a way where you can, like, you know, you don't always want to be making jokes about it, but I think humor is like such an incredible access point, right? Because it's like, you know, if you laugh, your body's like at ease. Like, I don't know the actual science of it, but you know, if you're laughing, if you're kind of being silly, I think physically just feel maybe a bit more able to like take in information, right? Or like take in honesty if you can kind of joke about it. So I think using humor in that way can be very powerful, as long as it's not the like only way you're processing, right?
Yeah, I'm learning to use other ways as well.
Yeah.
Recently, we've spoken about kind of routines and what helps when struggling. And obviously, art is one for you, obviously not when you're like necessarily in your deepest, darkest sort of depression. But do you find that you have a routine around your art? Do you find that there's like a certain time of day that you tend to do it? Or, you know, is it much more when you feel like creating?
This show is brought to you by our show sponsor, BetterHelp Online Therapy. Going to therapy is something that's really tough for people to fathom, but once you're there, you'll be so happy that you went. BetterHelp has therapists with years of training and are here to help. BetterHelp is a customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing what therapy is really about. It's always a good time to invest in yourself, because you are your greatest asset. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and 21 and over listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/holly. That's BetterHelp.com/holly.
Yeah, yeah, so for a long time, I just waited for like the muse to come, and that didn't work really for me because I just would procrastinate forever, you know? So I found that, yeah, introducing routine and just like making myself sit, like sit at my desk with my computer, with my markers, and just like staring at the blank page, even if I'm like so uncomfortable and I'm just not in the mood, just forcing myself to like sit there at my desk, like, and be in work mode or whatever really helps. Cause like, sure, maybe I'll sit there for an hour and like nothing, I won't get any incredible ideas, but I often find that like when I just, you know, sit down and like force that routine or whatever, more often than not, like something comes through. Because otherwise, you know, if I'm just whatever, like cleaning around the house, like doing other errands, I find it a lot harder for like the ideas and the creativity to come through, because I'll just be distracting myself with things. So I definitely for so long thought like artists don't need routine. Like I'm just creative. Like it just will come. And I think I'm sure a lot of people, that is how they're able to work. But for me, it's like the days when I wake up really early, journal, meditate, maybe like do some yoga or move my body, and then like sit down to work, I feel incredible. And that does not mean I do that all the time, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, of course not. But yeah, I definitely have a goal to like really focus on that, developing a routine, because I think that like within setting up certain structures that can like allow you to relax in certain ways almost.
I think that's what you actually, I think a really important point you made was when you sit down to do it, even if it feels uncomfortable, you do it anyway. And I think because that's actually the space that you're giving yourself to feel the feelings, rather than going off and doing different things and distracting yourself by actually forcing yourself to sit down. And I think for me anyway, that's the time, those are the times when it feels uncomfortable that I want to do a runner. Right. Yeah. And I want to not feel the feelings. But actually, I think from you being able to sit with them probably inspires and creates, you know, that opportunity for things to come through so much more.
Definitely. I really think it's like very important to try to do that whenever you can.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of your art, you use pens and crayons. Do you find a difference when you're actually drawing it by hand and seeing it come beneath you rather than being in front of a screen and using a digital format?
Yeah, I definitely prefer to like use my markers and pens, and you know, I think you can just kind of like get messier, and that's how I started drawing. Like I didn't start drawing until like when I graduated college. Like I did different types of art, but then it was kind of like I was so bored living with my parents for a bit and like just sitting on the floor, like playing with markers and like computer paper. And I think that, you know, almost like going back to, I think like that childhood creativity before, you know, it's like when you're a kid, when you're a kid, you're not self-conscious yet. So you just let yourself kind of like be weird and try different things. And that's how I first started getting into illustration. So I think like using markers like that, that feels like, yeah, that feels more natural to me. But the ease of drawing digitally is like incredible, right? It's like I can work on a piece and then like if I'm like, oh, I want a different color, you can just like change it. So you know, if you mess up, you can just like press the back button. So there's definitely are pros to it, to working that way. But yes, I definitely prefer the like markers, because yeah, I feel like it allows me to access that part of me that like, you know, hasn't become so terrified of the world yet.
And just time away from screens, because social media nowadays is talked about very negatively, but I'm sure for you it's been a huge positive. You know, you're able to share your work and connect with people.
I know it's really complicated, and I do want to believe that there's a way to like be online for work and like use it, you know, as a marketing tool, right? To like, yeah. to share your work, to connect with people, and without having it like totally infiltrate your like sense of self and your confidence and insecurity, all that stuff. And I've just found that like, yeah, taking days off here and there is what really helps. But no, I don't think I would like have a career without social media. Like it's, I know it's where so many clients have found me. It's where I've like made so many artist friends, you know, and yeah, it's definitely boosted my career in so many ways. So I'm like kind of at this crossroads where I'm trying to figure out how to be online and just like, I think it's just to not like mindlessly scroll. Maybe I don't really know like what the, yeah, how to do that. But I, you know, I think there's, yeah, lots of conversations popping up of like, how do we use these apps and how are we on our phones without feeling like, you know, they kind of rule us or are in charge of us. It's hard.
I guess it's having the awareness about when we pick up our phones, right? And why we're picking it up. I mean, I certainly know for me, you know, it's something that like, as I walk down the street even, and I'm on my own, it will be something that I'm scrolling. There's no reason for me to be doing that. I guess it's just about having that awareness around why we're picking it up and what we plan on doing basically on it.
Right. I mean, and it goes back to, you know, what we were talking about with the like letting yourself kind of be uncomfortable with just like the blank page. Same thing, like letting yourself just walk around and like, again, I think being bored can be so powerful. Like,
oh my God, totally.
You know, but we never want that. We're like, we're addicted to constantly being like entertained and stimulated. You know, it's like, look at the sky, look at the trees when you walk. Yeah. Like, I mean, I do it too, right? You just, it really is like, I'm this like, it's this like robotic thing where I won't even be thinking. And all of a sudden I just like pick it up and I'm scrolling and I'm like, wait, what?
It's so true. And actually, fun enough, the word boredom, I remember once being told, like someone said to me, an old therapist actually said to me, well, what is boredom? Like, what does it mean? And I was like, I don't know, you're bored. And he's like, well, being bored is actually just a discomfort of sitting with yourself. And I was like, wow. I was like, that's so true. Because, you know, we always think, oh, I'm bored, but what does that mean? Like, and then we pick up our phone or we do something. And I guess for you being in nature now, that's the one hell of a way to make sure you're present.
That definitely. And, you know, I understand, of course, it's also because I'm, you know, not really working, but I'm like, wait, my anxiety, it's like not really there. I'm not having like the most profound thoughts, but it's so nice to just be kind of like staring out and looking at stuff and like not having my mind racing, being like, all right, what am I going to do in an hour? What am I going to do tomorrow? Like always trying to, you know, I'm someone that like is always planning, always trying to figure out stuff. And it's nice to just sit there and like kind of not think about much. But yeah, it's really nice to just be present. But that being said, like something I have been thinking about on this trip is that when you're, you know, when you are present, like that means you really have to feel physical discomfort too. Like the air conditioning in our car is like not really working and we've driven through the desert. And like, so that's, but I'm like, wow, I am so in my body. Like I'm sweating, you know, but I'm so present. And, you know, you think about if you're in like an air conditioned room, you don't really feel your body, right? You're just kind of like numb. So that's something I've been thinking about too. And like camping, right? I'm covered in dirt, right? I'm like, normally I'd be like, oh, like I have dirt on me, but now I'm like, whoa, I can like really feel, you know, you're just like become such so much more aware. Yeah. So that's something that I've loved. It's like, even though my initial reaction is like, ew, like, ugh. Yeah.
All the things that we do to distract us from even those tiny sensations, like being dirty or I need to wash this off, like all of these things that we're so used to having access to immediately changing that. So for you to sit, I guess, with it all is probably tough.
It is. I definitely have moments where I'm like, oh, I just want to like go like leave and go stay in like a nice hotel. But, you know, to again, like just make myself kind of sit with it. It stops like bothering you eventually. And I can just like sit outside and like read my book and be like, even if I'm like kind of uncomfortable, you know, it's okay. Like it's able to like turn into a more pleasant experience for sure.
So compared to living in New York, as you do, compared to being in the nature as you are now, how do you deal with your anxiety differently in New York?
Yeah. So a thing I've realized is that I think living, for me, at least living in New York, I have to like, there's so much I have to do to just get to that baseline level of like feeling kind of calm. Mm. So it's like, you know, therapy, yoga, acupuncture, getting a massage. It's like working out, all this stuff. I feel like I have to do all that to just like, be like, all right, I can handle this. Right. I'm just always overthinking, overstimulated. So it's like so much more work to just kind of feel okay, where again, right, different stuff comes up, but friends who maybe have moved to like smaller cities or cities that have a lot more nature, you know, I think they don't really do that as much, right? It's like you have to spend less time just trying to get yourself to this like more stable place.
Yeah.
So I think that's something I'm definitely reflecting on. Like, do I want to live somewhere where I have to like really put in a lot of time and effort just to like feel okay?
Good point. Earlier, you mentioned your sobriety, you know, getting sober. How has that impacted your work, or maybe even changed your work and what you do with your time, maybe?
Yeah. It's, you know, I think it has made being an artist kind of harder in some ways, right? Like, I think there was that, you know, when I was out partying all the time, there's definitely this kind of like social, this like networking element to it, right? You're always like out meeting other artists and maybe like people who will, you know, hire you for things. Like, I think that was definitely something that, that was a part of my life before. But also I used to, you know, back when I was like drinking a lot and partying a lot, I did find it easier to like ideas would just pop into my head more. I don't know what that really is, but that channel was kind of more open, like being in those altered states. Maybe it I don't really know what it was, but I did find that like ideas would just show up in my head. Like I would just like have these visions of the art I wanted to make. Like I would see it before I even sat down. And, you know, since I stopped drinking, like, yeah, I have kind of like creative blocks a lot more. But I'm so much more like aware. I'm so much more in my body. Like I would never, I'm very happy with the like security and the confidence that I've been able to build up, you know, not drinking. I think that for me, drinking was definitely a way to just, again, like numb out, hide from myself, not think about myself, suppress all of the emotions, all of the messy feelings, right? Like if you're always drinking, it's way easier to be that like fun, cool party girl.
It's an escape.
Yeah. You don't have to like really look at yourself. So I definitely spend a lot more time reflecting, a lot more time. I can't hide from myself in the same ways anymore. Like, of course there's still other ways to do it. Right. Like I realized recently that some days I will listen to like 5 podcasts a day and I'll be like, like maybe this is your current way of escaping, right? Like,
yeah.
So, but that's obviously, you know, way healthier than going out every night and, you know, not remembering what's happening. So it's, yeah, it has, I think, been a challenge to my creativity, but to me as a like well-rounded person, right? For me as just a person, it's been like an incredible shift.
And how do you deal with, because obviously you share a lot of your work on social media, how do you deal with any negativity or someone who doesn't, I guess, agree with what you're saying within your art? Because art, everyone has an opinion on it and people don't hold back.
Definitely. I mean, I have been very lucky to the point where like I don't see that much like comments or like I've been pretty lucky, I think, to avoid that. But then of course it's like, even if you have 100 nice comments and then like one mean one, all you can see is the one that's critical. So I'm trying to not do that. I mean, I think I really have just over the years, like tried so hard to remember to not take things personally. And know that like, if someone doesn't like my art, like that person, like their opinion is not the most valuable opinion. I think that's something I've used to do so much, right? Like everyone else knows so much better than me. And so I'm trying to just be like, all right, like that's, they just, maybe they're going through something and that's why they feel the need to kind of like criticize me or whatever. And again, it doesn't mean it doesn't sting, right? Like rejection in whatever form is always gonna hurt, right? Like we're not robots. We can't, I'm not gonna lie and say that like nothing bothers
touches
me.
You, yeah.
No, of course not. But I'm definitely gotten a lot better, where I think like years ago, if I would have seen a mean comment, I would have like for a week just been thinking about it and being like, oh my God, I'm a fraud. They're right. My art's terrible, blah, blah, blah. But now I'm just kind of like, hey, I'm not for them. I'm not for everyone. I don't love all art that I see, right? Like, so I'm trying to do that, but to realize that like, or to begin to accept that like, it's not personal has been a huge thing for me. I really had no idea when my therapist first told me a few years ago, just like, oh yeah, like it's, you know, it's not personal. Like you don't have to, like it's not actually about you when someone, whatever, says something. And yeah, I was like very surprised by that.
And just going back a bit to what you were saying about routine, as I said, we were talking about that a few weeks ago, and obviously, you know, you realize that it's important to have routine for your art. What other things you mentioned, journaling and yoga, do you have a sort of morning routine, a nighttime routine? Like what kind of things do you implement in your day to day to kind of keep a structure, I guess?
Yeah. So like I said, I'm kind of naturally a morning person. So it is kind of easy for me to like, wake up early, which I know not everyone can do that, but
definitely not.
That's real. But I try to not look at my phone as the first thing that I do in the morning.
Yeah.
Again, let's not pretend that that's what happens all the time, but like, yeah, I try to, I'll say like limit my phone time in the morning and try to like eat breakfast and have my coffee right away and just kind of like calmly, you know, plan for the day. I love lists, like writing lists helps me so much, just kind of like not feel overwhelmed. So I can just kind of like have an idea of what I'm going to do. But I do this thing called Morning Pages, which is part of this book, The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. And in it, she suggests that every morning, the first thing you do is you just stream of consciousness, fill up 3 pages in a journal. So you're not necessarily like writing out, you know, full formed thoughts or reflections. You're just kind of like doing this brain dump of all the things you're kind of like obsessing over or thinking about. And it really like kind of lets all of those annoying thoughts go, so that then you make space in your brain for actual like creative thoughts or productive thoughts or whatever. So yeah, I think that's definitely been the thing that like the days when I do all that in the morning, I'm just like feeling really great.
Yeah.
Prepared for the day.
Yes. Yes.
Now, my favorite question to ask everyone is, what piece of advice would you give your 21-year-old self?
I think I would just say like, be nicer to yourself. That is something that, again, it took me a very long time to realize that, like, you know, despite like whatever, you know, relationships you're in or work accomplishments, that like you are worthy of love regardless of any of that. That's something that like I did not understand at that age. Like I really thought that I had to kind of like earn acceptance or love by looking a certain way or, you know, achieving certain things. So just that like base value, just existing, that like, you know, you are worthy of love. That is what I would tell my 21-year-old self.
I like that. It's something that's very easily forgotten.
It unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, it's not taught anywhere either. Like, it's not like, you know, it's exactly. No one tells us. Yeah.
No, and that was, once I realized that, I was like, oh, it would have been so cool to hear this growing up.
To be able to give yourself permission to do that. Yeah. Because I think at that age, you were so focused on what are you going to do with your life? And, you know, what are you going to become? Rather than like just being okay right now. So then I guess we get so preoccupied with all the, you know, in the future stuff rather than being able to be ourselves, you know?
And, exactly.
And I guess for me as well, like being awkward and uncomfortable in self at that age, like, you know, that we, you know, whatever age, in fact, like we will feel awkward and we will feel uncomfortable, and that's okay too, basically.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of that one. I'll definitely remember that.
Good.
Grace, I have really loved talking to you today and kind of hearing more about your creative journey, and I'm very jealous you are in nature at the moment. Yeah. I cannot wait to get away.
Yes,
so thank you so much.
Of course.
Thank you so much, Grace. Honestly, like so many thought-provoking nuggets that you gave us. And so nice to hear your experiences and what you do and to look after yourself. And I'm sure that our listeners will be really excited to hear them all. So thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Wow, Tanya, I can say I thoroughly enjoyed talking to Grace. She was very open, and that was something I really admired about her.
There were so many things that she said. She sounded very wise, and there were lots of bits that I'm definitely going to be thinking, mulling over and thinking about, you know, the things she was talking about our sort of physical sensations and dealing with that and sitting with the discomfort. I think that's something I'm going to take away with me today.
Yeah, with the physical sensations, it's the small things that I didn't even... It's the small things that are just normal that you pick up on, like walking into a cold room or when it's humid outside, but they really do make such a difference. And I think that was something really important that she highlighted.
And just how much we don't like being uncomfortable and what we'll do to change that, basically.
Yeah, I think that's the great thing about art, though, is that everyone can kind of see it differently and take what they want from it, whether it's kind of the... if there's an animal in it or the colors or whether it you can relate to it if there's a specific message. And I think something that is just so important to highlight, just talking about social media, even Grace said that one comment in 100 about her artwork can really affect her mood. So I think if there's something to take away from this episode for our listeners is just to be kind and be mindful when you're not even posting on Instagram, just commenting.
Yeah, absolutely. Be mindful, be aware, and just be kind, basically.
I'm also very excited to read Grace's new book, How to Deal, which is available in the US now, and it will be in the UK from the 15th of July. And for our listeners, we will put a link in our episode description. And now it's time for Behind the Post, and this is when we go back through my social media and look at whether a recent or a post from a while ago and discuss how I was feeling in the moment and maybe what was going on behind the scenes when I posted it.
So today we are going to talk about this picture actually from July last year, where you are sitting with a parking ticket. You're posing with a parking ticket and you look, you don't look best pleased. Actually, you, the second one, look, you look sarcastically happy. Obviously, I was about to ask, you know, what's been going on there? But obviously you just got a parking ticket. But how are you feeling? What was going on?
This was one of the moments where I tried to find humor in things people don't find funny. I sent those photos to my family group chat and all the siblings kind of laughed and dad kind of said, oh Lord, dot, dot, dot. And mum goes, not another parking ticket. And this was also something that I was quite nervous to post online actually, because I, do you remember how I was saying how I used to check in with my parents before posting? And this one, I checked in with them and I kind of said, you know, I don't want to make it seem as if I'm kind of flaunting the fact I have a parking ticket and I'll pay for it. You know, I didn't want to come across disrespectful to anyone. And so I was a little bit nervous about it, but you know, it was, from the comments I did read, it was received pretty well. You know, people saw the humor in it, which was great because I mean, I was annoyed I got a parking ticket, as you would be, because they're annoying.
You were trying to make light out of the situation, basically, and not you know, disrespect anyone.
Yeah, and that has to be done sometimes. You know, we had just come out of the first lockdown. I think it was the day restaurants opened again. And I just kind of, you know, let's add a little humour to this day.
But actually, listening to you, there were so many things going on literally behind the post. Like there were so many, you know, you had to check with your parents and you had, you were worrying about it being the right thing to post and all of that. And it's like you underestimate sometimes what has to sort of, what kind of, it's sort of mental torture, I guess, that we put ourselves under to kind of share something online.
And I was running late when I took the photo. I got into my car after the day at work and I was meant to be going to dinner. And I thought, okay, you know what? Let's get a really easy, like quick, funny photo with this parking ticket. I'm not even kidding you. It took about a good 5 minutes getting a decent photo with this parking ticket. And it was one of those moments when I realized I was really kind of obsessing over how I looked. And almost looking at the picture too much and not being able to see for what it was.
No, I totally get that. I totally get that. And I guess, you know, as you were saying, it's also interesting to see how you were trying to make light of the situation, trying to find humor in something that was actually quite annoying rather than, you know, being funny.
You've got to sometimes.
Yeah, I completely agree. Laughter's good. Humor's good.
Most definitely. Thank you so much for listening to 21 and Over, and a huge thank you to Grace for being our guest today. Please don't forget to subscribe to us wherever you listen to your favourite podcasts to get updated on new episodes. Also, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at 21 and Over with Holly. And if you'd like to send us a note, you can either send us a DM or email at 21andover@studioramsey.com. We'll see you next time.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.